Well, our message today is Join the Choir. So it could be Darcy Piercy's favorite sermon today. She is our choir director here at Piedmont Park. And not written just for Darcy, though. I believe this is a message that will touch us all. Will you bow your heads with me? Gracious Lord, as we approach your throne, may the words heard be from you and not from me. Lord, speak to our hearts today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I sang in my church's youth choir when I was growing up. Now, some of you are smiling at me, thinking, yeah, right. Pastor Michael, where's the punchline? We've never seen you up there singing at church before. Probably thinking he's trying to play a trick on us, maybe. Well, no, it's true. It's actually true. I was a part of the youth choir there in my hometown of Mingo, Iowa. Thankfully, there is no photographic evidence of this fact, so I've had to use a picture of our youth choir here at Piedmont Park. But I did. I was a part of that choir. I did sing. But in case you get any crazy ideas about asking me to do special music here at Piedmont, I have to confess that years ago I quit the youth choir. I know it's shocking. Hold on to your neighbor for support if you need to, as long as you knew them previously. You're thinking, the pastor quit? This is just shameful. I know. You let me have it. It gets worse, though, when I tell you the reason why I quit. I told them, see, our youth choir practiced Sunday evenings, and I told them that I didn't want to miss a TV show that was happening Sunday nights. All right, let me have it. Your gasps of horror, just let them out. Oh, it's terrible. I know. I don't even remember the TV show today. But that's why I told them why I was quitting. They even offered to change the time of practices, but I refused. Now, you could just say that I was a young teen focused on himself and on the world. But looking back, I realize now that there's more to why I quit the choir. Without consciously realizing it, I did not think that ministry mattered back then. Because it was more than just a TV show. And yes, kids, that is how TVs used to look years ago. It was more than just a TV show because they could have changed the time or I could have used a VCR. We did have one. You young ones, ask your moms and dads what a VCR is. They'll explain it to you later. But I remember thinking, what use is the choir? What use is ministry? What good does it do to sing those songs? I didn't think it was important. I didn't think ministry was important. I didn't realize the effect that ministry can have. I think now, what could have happened? What could have happened if I would have stayed with it? If I would have kept on singing, who knows? I could have ended up singing with the Gaithers someday. Or with Selah. Now you're laughing, but we do believe in miracles, folks. So miracles do happen. Who knows? Well, today we're going to finish our sermon series. These last few weeks we've been talking about the mission of the church and why we're here. We've been talking about the importance of ministry these past weeks. But I want you to think for a moment, those of you who have led out or done ministry, have you ever felt like at some point in time as you're doing whatever this ministry is in the church or maybe out in the community, have you ever thought, what's the point? Have you ever been discouraged at time when your ministry did not yield the results that you wanted? It happens. Vespers with low attendance, seminars that lose steam over time and attendance. It happens to all of us, even preachers. It happens to. I know a pastor who preached his heart out at a sermon years ago, and then he was invited over for lunch at a family's house, a church family that he knew well. And as they were talking that afternoon, they began talking about the subject and a question that he had just preached on that morning. And so after a while of talking, they asked the pastor, you know, what do you think about this, pastor? What's the answer? And he thought, wait a sec, I just preached this morning. And so he said, but were you at church this morning? And they said, yeah, we were, but can you answer this question? And he wanted to just pull his hair out. He thought, I thought I just had. So it happens to all of us. And there are times when we begin to question Why am I doing this? Just the absurdity of ministry. Well, let's find out this morning. There is a reason why we do ministry. If you turn with me to our scripture reading for today, Revelation chapter 4, we see an amazing scene in heaven. And let's see if we can find the Bible giving us a reason why we do this crazy thing called ministry. If you turn with me to Revelation chapter 4, we see this scene in heaven, and it's beyond anything we've seen here before, and something big is taking place. So Revelation chapter 4, starting in verse 2, John says, "Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in an appearance like an emerald. Then around that throne were 24 thrones, and the thrones I saw had 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads." Here we see an image of God Almighty sitting on his throne. Now, how do you picture God? Do you picture God like this, glowing like a jasper stone? Verse 5 talks about thunder and lightning that's coming out. Is that how you picture God? Or maybe you picture God more like Jesus. For Christ said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Maybe you picture him as a close, personal God. Well, friends, there's nothing wrong with either picture. In fact, we need both. We just have to keep them in balance. Because there are times when we need to picture God, we need to know him as close, as a friend, right at our side, as a healer. But there are other times that we as humans need to see God and just be bowled over by him and to fall down before him. We need to picture him on his throne, to see his glory, to see his majesty at times in our lives. But then there are times when we need to sense God close and holding us in his arms. While there are other times that we need to fall on our face before the Ancient of Days. But friends, we have to stay in balance. If you begin to lean too far one way or another, you'll get a wrong view of God. We need both. But as we see this image of God here in Revelation, I want you to watch for the reactions to God here in Revelation chapter 4 and 5. So we look at verse 6. It says, "Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes and in the front and in back." Here we have four living creatures that are around the throne, four heavenly beings. And we're not going to go into all the symbols and what they mean, but I would rather want you to focus today on the reactions to God. In verse 8, it says, "The four living creatures, each having six wings, full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, 'Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.'" These four heavenly beings, they see God and they react to him. And they share with others who God is. And my friends, that is ministry. To see God, experience him, and to declare to others who he is. That's ministry. And some of you might say, "Wait a second, that's ministry? Just saying holy, holy, holy? What kind of ministry is that?" Or maybe you felt like in your ministry that you've done at church and you felt like the things that I've done at church, they're just not enough. They're not very glorious. I know there's probably a deacon out there who's felt like, "Man, does what I do on Sabbath morning, does it even really matter?" Or maybe you've cleaned up after church or cleaned up after fellowship meal and felt like, "Man, I'm not really doing anything for the Lord." Well, here we have these heavenly creatures and all they say is, "Holy, holy, holy." What kind of ministry is that? Just watch. Let's watch for the effect of their declaration ministry. And let's see the next reaction in verse 9. "Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, then the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne. And they say, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." So we started off with four heavenly beings, and then all of a sudden now we have this scene continuing, and the glory is there, and they're praising God. And then we move from four to the 24 elders. Now, beyond those four living creatures that are there, now 24 elders fall and cast their crowns before God. And then they declare that you are worthy to receive glory and power and honor. So what is this? Is this a big deal? Why is John writing this to us, you might ask? And why is God showing this to John? Well, friends, I want you to catch this important point. There was an increase of people praising God, right? It begins, and we just had four that were praising God with the four living creatures. And then we end up now, and we have 24 that have joined in. We have multiplied by six here. Is this exciting? Are you excited? You say, "Not really, Pastor, but you seem to be." That's all right. Hold on, we're going to get there. Follow me to chapter 5, verse 1. Now the scene shifts. In verse 1 says, "I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written on the inside and on the back and sealed with seven seals." Now we begin to focus in. All of heaven's focus comes upon this book, this little scroll that's sealed. What's on the scroll? We don't know. Just some writing. We could maybe guess, but the Bible doesn't tell us exactly. But it's not what's on it that's important. We just need to know that it's important because all of heaven is focused in on this book. In verse 3, John finds out that no one anywhere is able to open it. Verse 4 tells us that John begins to weep. He says, "It can't be. Someone has got to open this thing. This thing is important." And then a new character enters the scene in verse 6. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 6 says, "And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though it had been slain." And then the lamb takes the scroll, and again, focus on the reaction. Once the lamb gets the scroll, look at verse 8 and 9. "Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, each having a harp and a golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints, and they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, for you were slain, and you have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and nation and people and tongue." You see, friends, the elders now and the living creatures together begin to sing. Only now there's 28 that are praising God. First we had a quartet. We had heaven's barbershop quartet that began this thing, starting with praise there in chapter 4. And then the select choir came up and began to praise God. And now they joined together. They both together increased to 28 beings praising God. And I know you've never been this excited about math before, but this is the best type of math. This is Bible math, and I love it because the choir keeps growing. I remember years ago when I was down in Kansas City, and I've actually seen some Kansas City folk here today. It's great to see you. And I remember the first time I did baptism class down at Midland Adventist Academy. It was Trudy Hoffman's 5th and 6th grade class, and I went there and studied with these kids, and now, strangely enough, these kids that I studied with then are now attending college, which is really bizarre. I don't know how they got older, because I haven't, but they're there, and I went there, and I studied for 10 weeks with these classes, and I met with them one-on-one, and I asked them, "Is this the time for baptism for you?" And 10 students chose to be baptized. Praise the Lord, amen. I was astounded. I was like, 10 of them? Wow, this is amazing. But what if only one had said, "Yeah, Pastor, I'm ready. I'm ready to get wet." What if I did all that work, all those hours? What if only one. What if I... Yeah. And what if I told you that in your ministry and the things you do for God, what if there would only be one person affected by your ministry? We have some young pastors here among us. We have Ryan and Chaz and Seth, and there are others. Ministry lies before you. What if I told you in your ministry, that all the work and all the hours and all the time you'd put in it, what if only one person would be affected by your ministry? What if you only got one? And for all of us, what if the things you do for God, you only get one? Is that enough? There was a small church in Iowa years ago, Fort Dodge Church in Iowa, Seventh-day Adventist Church there. And they held the Net 98 series back in the day. Do you remember those series that happened years ago? And they did that for evangelism. Small little church, small budget. They had to use Dwight Nelson to do the preaching on a video screen, just like this. They had to use him for evangelism. And folks, they didn't baptize thousands like Peter at Pentecost. They didn't baptize hundreds like the bigger churches. They didn't even baptize 10 from that series. All that work, all that effort. The members had to be there 5 nights a week for 4 weeks. You remember things like that here? Yeah. 5 nights a week, 4 weeks to not even baptize 10. Why do we do this? Why do we do ministry? Well, friends, I'm not sure how many that little church baptized from the series, but I know they baptized one. I know they got one. A long hair sporting, leather coat wearing, rock and roll music DJ playing from a local radio station. They got one. And by the grace of the good Lord, that one baptized DJ years later went to Midland Adventist Academy and baptized 10 more. And then years later, a grace-filled church in Lincoln, Nebraska was looking for a senior pastor. And they got together and said, you know what we need in a senior pastor? We need to find a guy who used to be a rock DJ. That's what we need here in this church. The results of your ministry may not be what you wanted or expected. I think at that series, they were hopeful for a dozen to be baptized or 20. They got one there in Fort Dodge. But should they give up? Never. The results of your ministry may not be what you wanted or expected, but we can never give up. We can never quit, friends. Sometimes we have to change. We have to learn. We have to adapt. But never quit. Try something else. Years ago, we were doing Revelation series in Kansas City, and they'd been going for years, going well, but then attendance started going down. It began lessening. So what do? Throw in the towel? No. We changed. We adjusted. We moved the time from Saturday evenings and evenings throughout the week, and we moved it to Sunday mornings. And guess what? It boomed again. The ministry took off. And the point here is we don't always see the far-ending results of our ministry today. But don't give up. Remember, God is not done yet. There are more coming. So we're going to go back to Revelation now, and we're going to see that the praise to the Lamb continues. More begin to praise the Lamb that was slain. Revelation chapter 5, verse 11. We started off with 4, and then it grew from there, and then in verse 11 it says, "Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.'" Loud praise. Things get loud here in Revelation. I hope you realize that. 28 sang a song of redemption in verse 9 and 10. And then in verse 11, we have myriads, thousands and thousands, countless angels praising God. And now we get the full heavenly choir shaking the foundations of heaven with honor and praise to the Almighty. And it began with four, just saying, holy, holy, holy. But friends, is that it? Are we done? Not even close. Because Revelation goes on and it says, and after this, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and as such as are in the sea and all that is in them, I heard them saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. That is Revelation chapter 5, verse 13. How does this thing end? With every created thing praising God. Did you notice in this chapter, the choir keeps getting bigger. And the whole heavenly congregation breaks into song. But it started with a faithful few, a faithful four, who said, holy, holy, holy. These past weeks, we've been talking about ministry. We've been talking about mission. And I hope as we've done this, you've been praying, you've been thinking about your place in the Lord's mission. Where will you stand in the Lord's choir? And my friend, I do want you to realize, whether you've been in ministry for years or maybe you've never set foot in it, I want you to know that everyone at some point in time in their ministry says, why do I do this? What's the point? God's word tells us. It tells us why we serve. God's word tells us why we do ministry. For one more soul to join the choir. For one more person to sing about the love of Jesus for all eternity. That's why we do this thing called ministry. For God wants everyone possible to be in the choir. Amen? Now, I'll admit, we question God at times. Because sometimes we don't see his big plan. We don't see his big picture. And years ago when I was doing ministry in Kansas City, we had a wedding in our family. I think our niece was getting married. And I couldn't go early with the rest of my family. So Jeanette and Ethan went on to that. And I didn't have enough time off. I had some things in ministry I had to do, so I stayed behind. So that night I finished my last meeting and got home late to our townhome. And I got home and I was not in a good mood. I was really bummed that I couldn't be there. I wanted to be with my family. I was missing Ethan. He was almost 1 year old. And I was just down in the dumps. And I got to the door and I was about ready to open it up. And I hear behind me, Michael. And I froze. This is late night, Kansas City. And I turned around, not expecting to do ministry as I turned around. And I saw a young man on a motorcycle. And I knew him. And he said, Michael, can I talk with you? I said, sure. And we went inside and talked. He told me he was ready to leave his family, to leave it all. He was packing up. He was going to walk away from it all. So we sat that night and we talked for a long time. I mainly listened. But at the end of it, he said, I'm going to stay. He decided that he wouldn't give up. And so we prayed together and we said our goodbyes and I shut the door. And as I shut the door, I just shook my head and smiled. And I praised God because I realized why I was still there in Kansas City, even though before that moment I hadn't wanted to be. And yet God had me right where he needed me to be. The Lord had an appointment for me in order to get one more in the choir. So we see our answer to our question, these two chapters. Why do we do this? Why do we do ministry? So that it can start with four. And then it can grow to 24. But it doesn't stop there. Then it can grow from there to 28. And it just keeps growing here in Kansas City. Even though before that moment I hadn't wanted to be. And yet God had me right where he needed me to be. The Lord had an appointment for me in order to get one more in the choir. So we see our answer to our question, these two chapters. Why do we do this? Why do we do ministry? So that it can start with four. and then it can grow to 24, but it doesn't stop there. Then it can grow from there to 28, and it just keeps growing until you get tens of thousands that are part of the choir, and then it finally ends with every created thing praising God. Why do we do ministry? Why do you clean up after church? Why are you an elder? Why do you teach Sabbath school when the kids don't seem to be listening? Why do you sit for hours in board meeting and nominating committee? Why do you lead out in music? Why do you get up early on a Saturday morning and come to church? And folks, I hope you realize what happens out there in the pew is just as important as what happens right here at the pulpit. Amen? Amen. I heard a story of a young man this week who was burnt out on drugs and came to church. His wife made him come to church, to a big TV church, and he went there one time. He was sitting down, not used to church. A little boy, 2 years old, not used to church, was making noise. And a dear saint sitting in front of him turned around and did him this. Gave him the look. He didn't care what was being said at the pulpit. He grabbed his family and went home. What we all do Saturday morning or when we worship matters. Now, praise the Lord, he came back to that church and came in one day, strung out on drugs and a mess, and he said, I need a Bible study. Amen. And he went to a Bible study. And he accepted Christ as his Savior. So, praise the Lord, God can work even when we make mistakes, and we all make mistakes. But why do we do this? Why do we get up early? Why do we do this ministry, friends? We do it to add one more to the choir. That's why we do it. To add just one more person to God's choir. Just one more is worth it. To help one more person believe in Jesus and for God to save one more. And by the grace of God, may that one more that we touch bring one more. And bring one more. Who brings one more until we can all sing of the wondrous love of God and the saving power of Jesus. And may we keep bringing more until finally we can hear them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. My dear friends, that is our mission, to help others know Jesus, to help them join the choir, and to add one more. Father in heaven, thank you so much, Lord, that you came here to make a difference in this world. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you sent someone in our past to make a difference in our life so that we could be one more. And now, Lord, inspire us to be one more for someone else. To help someone else to know you, to know your love. And Lord, may this ministry grow. May this choir just keep growing one more at a time. We give it all to you, Lord, and we thank you. And we long for that wonderful day when we will sing together in the heavenly choir and echo your praises through the cosmos. What a day that will be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.